It's time for some football without hesitation. Playing music. Gotta listen to the letters home, man. Starting this, doing my pregame ritual. So I had to put on the letters home. Man, if you haven't heard of them, which you probably haven't, the band from Pasadena. They've come up here to Salinas several times now, man. We all hang out at the Public House. Yeah, shout out to the Public House. Fucking love that place. I'm going to be there in about 45 minutes. But the Public House got the best beers, you know, chill environment. They got board games. It's fucking badass, dude. It's that place. I don't know. I'm there all the time. I fucking love it. That's where we record Salinas Underground Podcast. If you haven't listened to that, that's the big show. That's what started this. Salinas Underground Podcast comes out every week as well. But yeah, man. That's fucking just grooving out to these guys. Man, they got the saxophone, man. These fucking saxophones. I never realized how sexy of an instrument that was until they started playing up at Salinas. And damn, I love it. But yeah, I mean, I just needed something. Take a break from these fucking elections. Jesus fucking Christ. What are we? 5 more days? We got 5 more days. We're almost done, man. We're almost done with all this bullshit. Don't worry. Whoever wins, the earth is not going to explode. We will move on. Shit's going to keep sucking, but who cares? It's your life. Fuck it. Keep living. So yeah. So we'll be done. I mean, I guess we're not going to be done with it. People are going to be bitching for months. But either way, at least the commercials will stop. Commercials are fucking annoying. Watching the World Series last night, Game 7. Fucking people talking, yo, this lady, she's evil. Evil lady. Black helicopters. And then Clinton just playing. She actually turned nice. She's no longer going after Trump on her commercials no more. But I don't know. It's either way, bullshit. Get your ballot in just so you can bitch. That's my fucking philosophy. Fucking vote. You got 4 years of being able to bitch. Because then you could be all fucking high and mighty. Like, well, I voted. I got my fucking sticker. Look at my sticker. See my sticker? I voted. Therefore, I was in democracy, and I gotta talk shit like I'm the fucking smartest person in the world, even though I don't know fucking shit. So go out and vote. You know you want that. The regular season is now over. Switching to a little football talk here. I mean, this is football. Football without hesitation. Episode number 22, man. Fuck, 22 episodes. How the time flies. But yeah, again, started a podcast about the earthquakes at a time when they're historically fucking shitty. It's like I set up a fucking water ski rental facility on a lake that's drying. But I have faith that it will rain again and the lake will fill up and my skiing rental place will succeed. I just need the rain. Come on, Quakes. I'm depending on you for success. Way to fucking take the pressure off of me there. Like, yeah, man, if the Quakes aren't good, how the fuck can my podcast be good? I'm fucking good. It's just I have no information to convey. But anyway, there is some bit of information in the last. I kind of do an episode last week, so it's been 2 weeks. And in those 2 weeks, groundbreaking news literally fucking shakes the Quakes team. They got rid of Chad Barrett. Oh, what? I think Chad Barrett played 17 minutes all season. He warmed up a lot. If there was an award for how many minutes you warmed up without playing, Chad Barrett would fucking be the MVP of that shit every year. But yeah, I mean, whatever. It just didn't work out. I mean, I'm not going to hate on the guy. It didn't work out. It doesn't work out all the time. Good luck to you in your travels. But dude, what was it? So it was in the Mercury. So it came out in the Mercury. Of course, Elliot Elman got his chance to do his once a quarter Quakes article, and it was the post-mortem of the season. And the way he described it in the article, it was like Chad Barrett fucking like sent him a tweet or a text or something like, "Hey, fool, I got cut." Like, that's damn. That's as many strides as this league has made. That's fucking. That's pretty laughable there, where the player has to say, "Hey, man, I'm not the team's not gonna bring him back next year." Usually the fucking agent. Usually it's a goddamn journalist sticking his nose up the fucking up the front off his ass to figure it out. Or an agent, you know, texting the media. But the player? Dude was fucking sitting right there at the Terminal C or whatever at the airport looking at Avaya like, fuck, what could have been? And he's tweeting Elliot Allman like, hey, man, so I'm not going to be here next year? So I don't know. It looks like, according to that same article, it looks like Innocent won't be here next year either, or Hanuk. It's looking like very so that I mean it's gonna open up some fucking space. They're gonna have some money to make some moves, and dude, at this point, it's been said before, and it's been proven this season where you don't need a fucking superstar player, you don't need some world level, you know, worldwide known guy. It's you just need the right guy. You just need the right guy. And the two motherfuckers I'm thinking of right off the top of my head are, again, Nicolas Lodeiro for Seattle and then Mateo Mancosu for Montreal. These are two dudes that, again, it's not this fucking... It's not a Premier League to La Liga fucking move, you know? It was a South American league to MLS move. So it wasn't this big deal, but fuck those two teams. Seattle looks goddamn invincible. They have a fucking three-goal advantage on Dallas in the fucking in their fucking game. Damn, that's going to be a hard deficit for Dallas to come up against. And fucking Lodeiro, what the fuck did he do? Two fucking goals that game. Two goals. When they signed him, they were below the Quakes in the fucking table. They were, and it wasn't 1 point. They were fucking, I think it was like five or so, but it doesn't fucking matter. They were below the Quakes in the table when they got him in the summer. Same time, well, I guess the Quakes, it was a later move to get Hanuk, but Mancosu comes in July. I believe Lodeiro came in at the end of July. First game was maybe in August. Hanuk came in that first week of August. So, I mean, there was fucking, you know, four or five games difference between this. But the difference on the pitch was different. Where you got these two guys who are making fucking impacts. Watch out. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. MLS pun right there. Right down to fucking... I don't get many of those. Anyway. Mancosu, six fucking goals. Six goals. Three in the playoffs. Anyway, I didn't even want to get worked up. I just wanted to mention. So yeah, you know, with this general manager search that's happening with the Quakes, dude, you same thing with the general manager. You don't know. You don't need some fucker that was on the trajectory to manage Barcelona or fucking Man City or something. You know, you don't need that guy. You need a competent guy that understands this league and these dynamics, and especially this part of the world. There's obviously talent in South America, and I'm not saying that that's the fucking answer. There's also a lot of talent in this country, and it can be developed. But you don't need to make splashy moves. You need to make the right moves. And so far the Quakes front office has not done that, and again, I sincerely hope they do. You really can only hope as a fan. I mean, you could write angry letters, you could try to get meetings with Cavall, you do whatever the hell you want. I mean, and ultimately, with no media pressure, that also, again, I'm going to keep bringing that up. If you listen to the show, you're probably like, fuck this shit again? It's only 22 episodes. When are you not going to talk about this? But, I mean, if the Quakes are allowed to get away with it, I mean, look at the fuck's going on with the 49ers. You got everybody. Balky's fate is sealed. People are already looking, a lot of journalists are already looking past the Balky era for the 49ers and into the what can be in the next one. I bet you nobody can even name the fucking general manager that was just fired for the Quakes. We're going to be able to compare. The 49ers at some point soon are going to be looking for a general manager. Let's see how that's covered and how that's handled by that team, whose fucking front office is kind of wacky as well. Kinda is really fucking wacky. But you'll see the difference in a league that all that pressure's on there. You know that there's fucking going to be journalists in Santa Clara every fucking day. What the hell's going on? Who's it going to be? Who's this nobody? It has to be somebody with a rep. If not, you have to prove to us why this nobody is going to do it. Meanwhile, down in San Jose, you have fucking players that get cut from the team texting the fucking one or two media members that actually even covers the Quakes every once in a while. It's crazy. It's crazy, but it'll get better. It's really latched on. There's no this, like, fuck, I remember, 10, 12 years ago when it was like, dude, this, any day now, there's going to be like, well, that was the American, this, you know, another American soccer experiment. In 10 years, we'll try again. But it really, the momentum kept going. The momentum kept going. The national team got pretty good. I got people excited. So it looks like it's not going anywhere. So it's going to be cool to be able to look back in 15, 20 years, hopefully. Fuck, I'm getting fucking cocky right there. But yeah, it'd be pretty kind of cool 15, 20 years to look back and be like, dude, this is what it is now. I know I bitch a lot about the kids at the games and all that, and that's just me just wanting to be a drunken fool and not feel bad with fucking kids around. But at the same time, those kids are being raised at Avaya. Those kids are being raised at Red Bull Arena. Those kids are being raised, you know, wherever their respective MLS teams play, or their high school team or the college team or whatever. It's everywhere. And when they grow up, all they're going to know is MLS. They're not going to be familiar with any other, you know, very familiar with any other sport. And they're going to take their kids to soccer, and they're going to remember the drunken idiots like me, and they're going to say, you know what, maybe we should just watch it at home. Unless you want to subject them to that. But getting into this playoff real quick, get off this soapbox. We had all the home games, all the home teams are in the lead, all the home teams shut out the away team. It's gonna be good, man. I know it's tough to get into something that you know you don't know the players, you might not even know the rules very well, but damn, is it good! It's fucking good. I mean, other than the Seattle Dallas one, where fuck, you never know. I mean, at Dallas can score, and at home, you know, they have a chance. But it's gonna be good. The fucking dude, the Toronto, New York City, That's the one. That's the one. That one had the drama. That one has drama coming back. Those teams are the two highest payrolls in the league. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. And that's cool. I don't know. Toronto, New York, that seems like a better rivalry than Red Bulls, New York City FC. Red Bulls and Philly. There, I'm down with that one. I'm creating rivalries right here. Speaking of Toronto, New York City FC, Toronto has, they were at home. They got the two goal advantage on New York City. They go back to the tiny little pitch at Yankee Stadium, so anything can happen there. That is fucking, come on. I know they're not going to come out and say it or anything, but damn, the couple games I've seen now, on TV at Yankee Stadium, that pitch is fucking terrible. I don't know. It seems like a cool atmosphere, though. So keep it up, y'all. Then Montreal played the other New York team, the Red Bulls, a.k.a. the Metro Stars. Kind of like that. That seems to have more. It's cheesy as fuck, but it's like, it has history, you know? Don't bring back the uniforms. Those original uniforms were fucking hideous. Montreal, like I said, Mancosu, he got the best of them. Fucking dude just is a machine right now. It looks like the Drogba's coming back, so I don't know. It's going to be another great game, man. Another fucking awesome game. And then you got the team from down south who played Colorado, the Tim Howards. And again, came up victorious at home. It was a wacky ass goal. Gio was just at the right place at the right time, and he hit it right with his head. And that was a weird ass bounce. It took him a second for him to register it. But hey, it went in, and they're ahead, and that's really all that fucking matters. No away goals. Those away goals are fucking important, man. Especially fucking Dallas. Dallas could definitely use the goal in Seattle. But we'll see. They can get chippy. I think that game in Dallas is going to be a lot rougher than that fucking hug fest in Seattle. But I don't know. Again, if you listen to this, you're probably already into MLS, already into soccer. But I really want to introduce people to the game and to this league. And this is a great fucking opportunity. This Sunday, starting at 11 our time? 11. Starting at 11 a.m. our time, going all the way the last game, Seattle, Dallas kicks off at 6, I believe. I don't know who's playing Sunday Night Football, but damn. Sorry, Dallas, Seattle. I think you're going to lose that ratings battle. I'll be there supporting. I mean, come out, catch a game. Go to a bar. Ask them to put the soccer game on. A lot of them, you know, this league is getting more well-known. And it's a pretty good league. Every league in the country has its own style. They all have their own way of playing. I think the Premier League is so popular in this country because it's such a physical league. The big players, people get knocked the fuck around. You know, fouls are hard to come by, and I don't know if because we follow it more or become more American players have played in England and brought back that style. But the MLS is a pretty physical league. MLS is a pretty physical league, and we saw that with, MPG here in San Jose is small players, because MPG was tough. I mean, he got hurt a lot, but he was short and sturdy, but, if you're like a player like, and I fucking hate to bring this name up, but it's fucking soccer, you have to bring it up, but a player like Messi would have a really hard time adjusting in MLS. Of course, not fucking saying he wouldn't do well. The motherfucker would lead the league in every statistic possible, but I'm saying he would still have a hard time adjusting to the physicality of it. A lot of things don't get called in this league. A lot of weird shit gets called sometimes, but it is seeming to have a very physical attitude about it, and it looks like it's going to keep going in that direction. Hopefully, there's no change in the referee fucking association or something that's. I mean, hold on. I'm not. What I'm trying to say, because we had a good relationship, pro. We could probably find something more professional. but I'm just saying, hopefully nothing happens to make this league different and all of a sudden yellow card city and we start getting the different style of play. That's just me being greedy because I enjoy the more physical style of play and I think it'll appeal to more Americans. And yeah, whatever. Doesn't matter what I say. The cards have already been dealt. This fucking rock's already rolling downhill. What can you do? Soccer's here to stay. Deal with it. You don't have to like it, but a lot of people don't like change. Changes. And we're ending on that note. Was that the Carpenters, I think? I don't know. I was born in the late 80s. I just know it's some old shit. But yeah. Thanks again for listening. Football Without Hesitation again, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Music, anywhere you listen to podcasts, there it is. Also, @Baldini10, follow me on Twitter. Catch y'all next week, man.